The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Randy Robison invites you on a journey into the age of promise.
You look at the Old Testament and there's it seems completely irrelevant to our lives today in so many ways, but the reality is it's very relevant. If we understand it in the proper context, it gets weird if we take it out of context.
Uncovering the glorious riches of our heritage of faith and the mysteries now revealed in Jesus that will deepen your relationship with the Father.
Thank you so much for joining us. And I have to say, I'm a proud mama because James and I have our son, Randy, with us today to talk about his book that's just come out, and you are going to be blessed.
Well, we had him on an earlier program, and everyone indicated they really enjoyed it. The book, The Age of Promise, Escape the Shadows of the Law and Live in the Light of Christ. So much of the Old Testament is really a shadow of the greatness to come when Christ the Messiah comes and fulfills so much of what people long for and hope for. And I think that he has taken the scriptures and brought a lot of understanding to people about things that sometimes people didn't understand. But where he's getting us in the age of promise is he's bringing us into the age when the promised one is here, the Messiah is here. And so much has been said in the Old Testament or referred to as being fulfilled before your eyes. And then the Lord wants us to make this kingdom that has come in us, he wants it to become real to people. And he wants the weight of that kingdom, the reality of it, the effect of it, to make a kingdom imprint. And when you put the seal of God's presence, the seal and weight of his power, it makes an indelible imprint. And that is basically what Randy is talking about. And he's going to kind of emphasize one part today. He told us before we came out, he's going to talk about what it means to actually be priests and kings. You can take those two extremes and misapply them or misunderstand them, or you can take them with understanding. We all have a priestly role because Christ is in us, the high priest. And I think he's going to expand on that a little bit. Would you welcome our son, Randy, the author of The Age of Promise, back to life today.
Always good to be back.
And you, are you enjoying hosting with Sheila?
Oh, yeah, it's great. And it's nice because I've got Sheila there. I mean, it's Sheila Walsh, for crying out loud. All I have to do is show up, say hello and goodbye, and the rest takes care of itself.
Well, she's that good.
Yeah,
Sheila, we love you. And thank you so much for being a boundless blessing everywhere you go. Okay, The Age of Promise. You have always been a reader. You always tried to get your sisters to read, and they were very intelligent and read. They didn't read quite like you did. Right. But it was your older sister taught
she
you to read.
She taught me to read. My sister taught me to read.
She's reading when he's four. We call him 4 years old. He's reading us the paper. It's crazy. So crazy stuff. But anyway, okay, so you've always liked to read. You've always recognized, I think, what I would say, I've been very impressed because I make a pretty big impression. But you went way past the impressions that I might have made. I hope there were some positives. But you were an explorer. I call myself a treasure hunter. And when I find treasure, which I do find it, and I so often find it in people, I want to share it because Christ is the treasure. So I find that and I share that. Well, you were doing the same thing. You were curious. You wanted answers. You researched. And then a lot of what you found, it came out in this book. Are you excited about what you think people are going to get out of it as they go through what you've written?
I'm excited about what I got out of it. And, you know, a lot of my pressing, my digging is because it frustrates me when I feel like I don't understand something and I want to get at it and really understand it. And, you know, there's a lot of, you look at the Old Testament and there's it seems completely irrelevant to our lives today in so many ways, but the reality is it's very relevant. If we understand it in the proper context, it gets weird if we take it out of context. And we see that too. And it's like, why do people do that? You know, people quote the Old Testament and you go back up 2 verses and live by that verse, you know. So getting the context of the Old Testament is important. Here's what I found. I'm looking at these 10 different things in the Old Testament, how they were transformed in Christ and how they impact our lives today when we understand them and apply them. And the one about the priesthood, it kind of surprised me that people gravitated to that one so much. I mean, I like them all because if I didn't like it, I didn't put it in the book. But people were like, yeah, you know, the priesthood thing. I thought, well, that's interesting, because when I think of priests, I think of Catholics, you know? And it's like, okay, so it doesn't have a lot of bearing on my Protestant life. Mm-hmm. But when you get into the Old Testament and look at the priesthood, what it was and what it was intended to do, how it became so corrupt that by the time Christ arrived, even the high priest was appointed by Rome. It was not even the bloodline as ordained by God. And there were thousands, there were over 10,000 priests when Jesus was around. Everybody was a priest in some capacity. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus came, and Paul says that he became the final high priest, the eternal high priest. He took that office away from man, and it's his forever, not letting it go. Okay, so you think, so the priesthood's done. No. This is where it gets exciting, because what we find is that the priesthood established in the Old Testament, now under the high priesthood of Christ, enables us to be what Paul called a royal priesthood. He said that to believers. That was a big deal. That was a problem for the Jewish priests of the day, because he was conferring this Old Testament honor onto a new set of believers.
Believers who might even be Gentiles.
Exactly, because the audience he was writing to when he said that was mixed of Jews and Gentiles. The point was faith, right? The point was not the blood of the people. The point was the blood of Christ, right? So when we look at the priesthood now in this royal priesthood, this body of believers, we go, okay, what do we learn? And I looked at that and I thought, I realized there's a lot of very practical steps. And that's why that chapter has jumped out to a lot of people in the books. There are things that we can do that were laid down in the Old Testament that are the same but yet different, better, I will say, under Christ today as that royal priesthood.
You touch on four of them, basically. Just name them off, and then let's elaborate on a couple of them.
So four very practical things I see straight out of the Old Testament into the New is that we can represent God, we can teach others, we can restore the fallen, and we can lead worship. Now,
which is not necessarily
that,
leading praise.
That's a very interesting.
That was the first thing I thought when I heard just the phrase. Well, but it's sure. More than leading praise. It's greater than that.
The connotation of that word worship. Well, and Paul says to present our bodies as a sacrifice.
Living sacrifice.
Yeah, a living sacrifice. What does he say? Which is your
reasonable service?
Your holy act of worship in another passage. It ties service and worship together in the Scripture. Mm-hmm. And one of the Old Testament facets of worship that translated into the practical day-to-day life of the priests was serving others, fulfilling the needs. And most of the priests in Christ's days were on that level of serving others. So when we look at service as an act of worship, it changes the idea of helping others. And it's not just going and doing something nice for somebody. It's that posture of bowing down to God, being humble, being willing to get on our knees for others, to help, you know. It's this whole humility and this servant attitude. It even goes to the giving of our money to help others. You know, the one tribe was pulled apart, and then God set up the tithing system to make sure that they had an income, so the other 11 tribes are giving so that the priests could perform their acts of worship and service. So when we start to see our lives today under Christ the High Priest as priests in our service to others, it takes on a whole different meaning. It takes on a holy meaning.
All the great things that happen, I think, even on this earth, happen as a servant attitude where somebody's trying to find a way to benefit others, not just a way to make money or just meet a specific need, but actually to advance someone in a better way. It's a servant heart that even makes us more successful in every area of life.
Completely. I think a lot of people don't realize that. In ministry, you have to be doing something like maybe we're doing, or like you preaching to stadiums full of people. Mm-hmm. And that's all, that's your calling. But the calling to service, to helping others, is just as ordained by God as the call to stand up in front
and
of others and preach the gospel.
Yeah. When you talk about restoring the fallen, Randy, because when we wrap this program up here in a little while, we're going to be talking about that incredible servanthood in the attitude of restoring people who are in desperate need. Betty, you've gone kind of the ends of the earth. You shared me with the world, away from the family. The whole family did. I even sat and had little meetings that you're sharing, Dad, and I'm out here, and boy, I want you to please understand. And by the way, I love the way you kept referring to the term understanding. If I didn't understand, understand, understand. Mm-hmm. With all you're getting, get understanding. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is not just getting instructions and knowing exactly what's right. It's understanding why that truth matters. That's what wisdom is. I understand. And the more you get understanding from God's point of view, the greater the wisdom, the greater the understanding. So you're on that suit. But you've watched Randy on this journey. You see what he's doing. And we've gone all over the world restoring the fallen. Mm-hmm. And the people who help us, they're doing the very same thing. So in a sense, they're fulfilling what Randy's talking about in priesthood, mm-hmm. even when they do that.
Well, it excites me, though, to understand better what priesthood means, mm-hmm. and what worship means. Oh, I mean, gosh. There's so many different ways you can worship mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. And it is through your service, a lot of it. It's not just going to church and singing some songs. My worship comes mostly to me when it's sometimes just being God, mm-hmm. you know, or if it's someone I've reached out to. It makes a difference. Oh. That pleases me to know that's part of my worship going toward God.
Well, and you should know that God has established that from the beginning. That's what you're to do. That's why it feels so right when you do it, because that's what God has set up.
You know, you've gone all over the world with the mission teams, and you know the heartache because you've got two daughters. You know the grip of evil and how important it is that God break that we not crush the person trapped by it, but that we crush the teeth of the trap and the enemy's grip. But restoring the fallen, what do people need to hear and understand about that, where they live with that
This is
aspect?
Interesting, because in order to restore the fallen, you have to know that they're fallen. And part of the priestly duty to teach others is to teach them truth, even to the point where the priest in the Old Testament would look at an animal and see if it had spots or blemishes, because an impure animal could not be taken into the temple. Well, what does that mean? We have to know the difference between right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And we have to be unafraid to say, you know what, that's rotten. You know, that's not good.
And you offer the Lord the best. You don't offer Him the lame and the blind. Mm-hmm. You offer Him the best. And that's the same way with people understand when you're bringing the Lord the sacrifices of your life, you're bringing Him your total life, not a piece of it or a day of it. But if you make that sacrifice really of praise, you're bringing all of it to Him.
It is, and it's also knowing the blemishes. God didn't disallow the sacrificial animals because He was biased against them. It has to do with purity. And if we want to walk a pure life and encourage others to walk in a pure life, we have to be able to say that is an impurity. That's a flaw. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be dealt with before you move on with God. So when we see people who are fallen, I want to get this verse right because this is huge. You've dealt with this your whole life. I've seen it like people on television haven't seen. I've seen it up hand. I've seen it behind the scenes. So in the book, I also talk about the difference between sin in the Greek sense and trespass, where sin is a mistake or we didn't do something we should have or we didn't realize we did something wrong we did. A trespass is where someone knows something is wrong and does it anyway. There's a willing disobedience about a trespass, mm-hmm. okay? So Paul says to the believers in Galatia, he says, even if a man is caught in any trespass, purposely doing something wrong, and he tells them what to do, what would we typically do in the church with someone who is caught in a willing, disobedient trespass?
We tend to rebuke, maybe kick them out. That can kind of be a tendency of a lot of churches.
That tends to be the reflexive thing. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Paul says to you who are spiritual, which is a first condition, we have to be spiritual. He says, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Mm-hmm. Imagine all those who are caught in trespass, whether they're believers or they're just lost. If we work to restore them to a relationship with God in a spirit of gentleness, instead of screaming at them or casting them out or shaming them or just judging them,
when you correct a child and call them stupid, dumb, mm-hmm. can't do anything right, you've really set that child back. Mm-hmm. You haven't helped them. That's not gentleness. That's not teaching correctly. That's browbeating them, beating them down, and doing terrible damage to them, and probably more damage than the mistake they just made. So
here's the thing. That's an Old Testament precedent. You stone the one caught in sin. Mm-hmm. That is sort of the Old Testament way of thinking. So when Paul introduces this and says, no, you restore them in a spirit of gentleness, it was a pretty significant paradigm shift. Then he goes on and says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. So now we've got this Old Testament law that seemingly set against the New Testament law. But what Paul's saying is that this is the way of Christ. When someone's caught in a trespass, you work to restore them to their relationship with God. And in doing so, you fulfill the law. So the priestly duty, which in the Old Testament, there was a restoring of the fallen. And in the New Testament, I believe it's a calling. I mean, when someone is caught in a sin and they're in a bad shape, the cops may show up, Child Protective Services may show up, counselors will show up. By golly, where are the Christians showing up? We should be going out to help these people and restore them. And one thing I love about the mission outreach of Rescue Life is that these are girls in prostitution.
But not by choice.
That's wrong. The whole system, I mean, there's so much wrong going on over there. And we could just condemn it. But what are we trying to do? We are gently trying to go in and restore these people to a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. That is fulfilling the law, not the Old Testament law, which Christ fulfilled. We don't need to work to fulfill. It is fulfilling the law of Christ.
It says you pointed out to one of our men's retreat, when you use the reference of the woman caught in the act of adultery, mm-hmm. that's pretty, it's caught, it's mm-hmm. caught, guilty. Mm-hmm. And they were going to stone her because this is what the law says. And Jesus says, as he's written, but then he says, who's, without sin cast the first stone. Mm-hmm. You pointed out, interesting, that all of them left, and the only one qualified to throw the stone was still with her.
Yep.
The one who'd never sinned.
According to the law, Jesus should have thrown the stones. According to his own statements,
because
he should have thrown
the
stones.
He had not failed.
Right. So what stones did he throw? They weren't the physical stones.
Grace, mercy, forgiveness, and correction. That's what he did. And let me say something that you might find interesting. The Old Testament was giving graphic pictures of the reality of spiritual, eternal things.
Yep.
And when the death penalty was put on a practice, if you'll do a thorough study of the tendency of that practice, it was a practice that held such a grip on people that they seldom repented of it. Therefore, it brought death. So God is saying to the people in the Old Testament, in that day, he's saying, if you live there, it brings death. So in showing the effect of that, they did it in a literal sense to illustrate that, whether it's adultery, disrespect of authority, leads to destruction and death. Therefore, it brings death. So I'm illustrating it. But Christ now shows you that he took all of that. Mm-hmm. He took the total punishment for that awful thing in himself to set you free. And that is what he does. And that is what we offer now as new people living in the age of promise. And the promise has come, Christ in us, the hope of his glory being revealed through us to an earth in darkness. Mm-hmm. You appreciate what Randy's been seeking to do and the effort he's put into it. I'm grateful for the journey you're on. And it's a very in-depth study of the Word of God where you can see it clearly. And you move into this bright day, the age of promise. Randy, we were just referring to what you've seen. Mm-hmm. And it's not a sight that you can easily walk away from.
No.
We have seen on the mission field the people that are dying. Some contaminated water, some starving, malnutrition. But we've also seen people destroyed, being used, being sold, or moving into a life of total bondage and destruction. And only love can set them free. And that's what we do together. Watch. I think you're going to release this river of life and love. And I think you're going to rejoice to do it. Watch.
ở cùng mình đây nhưng mà có đó mình lôi xong cái hơi cho bé cái chân bố bà bé đã mình lôi xong cái tới mẹ ở cho thơ ca thì hẹn thà tôi thơ ca nâng tôi thơ ca hộp tộc lực hộp ấy ấy nhiều hãy tôi bị đặt thêm nhiều mọi đề hãy ngập lắng ngập lắng kê thơ ấy nhiều mấy cái thơ bên nó thay phong khai phong hay họ mất phẹt khơi tiết nhóm thà bà chồn ni ai ai bia ni tơ hay kê và anh nhóm ở bên nhóm ở từ từ nhiều và anh nhóm kê ở đằng nào thế cái thà ai từ từ nhiều bỏ từ từ nhiều thế kê nên sẽ lập chào ấy.
It's clear to me today, more than it has ever been, that I know nothing, nothing of suffering compared to this beautiful girl and thousands like her. It's really overwhelming. It's overwhelming because in Southeast Asia, she's not alone. There's thousands of girls like this, and the only hope is not the government stepping in. The only hope is the body of Christ. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's why Jesus came, and that's why you and I are on this earth. We can't wait for somebody else to move in and help. It's our job, it's our responsibility. The sex traffickers are not sitting back thinking, well, you know, we'll take a day off. They are there. They're relentless. And if we as the body of Christ don't care more than they care, then God have mercy on us.
There's no question you're hearing God, not Sheila. And Jesus said in that first great proclamation in the synagogue, quoting Isaiah, that he came to set captives free like that beautiful girl. And since Sheila's been here with life, she's walked into new areas that she had not seen up close and personal. And it's been life-changing, not only life-enriching, life-changing. And you could hear the passion. We'll set these people free. And Betty, we've been there. We know it can happen. We see what love does, so it's not wishful thinking. If the people who are watching us in this last week will help us, the love of God will flow to them. We will set so many free. We targeted 2,500. That the missionaries said we believe we can reach and we can take care of and restore them. And Buer said, whatever you do, we'll match it. So if you can raise enough support to rescue 2,500, we'll match it, and it'll be 5,000. So suddenly when you say today, I'm going to be an answer to that heart cry, I'm going to set that girl free and others like her, she represents the ones we're after, and it takes $128 to reach, rescue, and restore for a year, I'm going to do it. And it'll immediately be doubled. So when you said, I'm going to help one, you just helped two because of the love of God flowing through others. So in this last week, here's what I'd like you to do right now. I want you to go online. I want you to call that number that's a prayer line for all the broken hearts. And most of the calls today will be people calling and say, please pray for me. And that's what we rejoice in that. Because love even pays for that call. But I need many of you to call to be a lifeline and say, I'm going to set somebody free with the love of God through my gift. If you could help us set free, and I ask this many times, 10, could you make a $1,280 gift, a $1,280 gift? I believe you can. Some of you can. You say, I can. Well, it'll immediately be doubled, and you'll not just rescue 10, but 20. So this last week, right now, would you please go online, dial the number, take your bank card, go get it, write the number down. By the way, if you say, I can't make the call right now, write it down, go get the card. If you write a check, make it to life, but call us and tell us it's coming because we're going to let the missionaries know. Here's what we, God's people, enable you to do, setting people free. Will you do it? We have some gifts to bless you, but you are giving freedom to someone in desperate need. Thank you for doing it.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators. Their spirit and bodies broken under horrific emotional and physical abuse.
Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children vulnerable to sex traffickers. You can help rescue those already enslaved. And you can help restore young lives and give them a future. And now, a generous opportunity of a $320,000 matching gift means your gift of $128 to help rescue a child will be matched to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help rescue one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift, we'll send you the Age of Promise. Randy Robison reveals 10 promises woven through all of Scripture that will transform the way you view God, yourself, and others. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Prayer is Powerful wood plaque. This unique scripture art piece is printed on premium birchwood, a beautiful reminder of the power of prayer. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children. And you may request the beautiful Bridge of Faith framed canvas print. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online.
Well, Betty and I just joined with our son Randy and say thank you so much. I think that you'll find so much of the Word come alive as you read the Old Testament, really come to have even a greater effect and impact and greater appreciation for it. And then if we'll together live in the Age of Promise, I just think you're going to find that it's joy unspeakable, full of glory. That's what we want. And Betty and I just say thank you. Thank you for setting captives free. Thank you for loving people. Thank you for watching the program, but not just watching. Thank you for being an expression of the life we seek to present every day, life today. Would you join us saying thanks to our son, Randy?
Thank you.
Thanks for your journey. Thanks for what you're learning. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for helping. And thank you for helping so many people all over the world. God bless you. He's blessing through you.
Pain can make us believe that we don't want to go on.
Learning how God can use your pain to benefit others. Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.